Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings that remind us that you are with us and we are to remain in communion with your Son so that we can indeed bear much fruit, and we're also to be open to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit so that what doesn't bear fruit can be trimmed away and what does can be blessed and nurtured. So we ask you to open our hearts that we be more fruitful Christians and not be discouraged at all the things that happen around us that might upset or disturb us, that we keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Hope you're all doing well as we enter this fifth week of Easter. Just a few more weeks and we'll be preparing for the Ascension and the wonderful celebration of Pentecost, one of my favorite celebrations in the church. It's funny, but you know, I love music, and I always have as a little kid. Even I just spent hours listening to my parents' record collection. And when I found my dad's Tiny Tim album, I immediately came to the conclusion, Mom has better taste in music than Dad. I said, who would pay money to listen to this? It was so bizarre and weird. But today, over this weekend, as I was preparing the scripture readings, I thought of a song from Kathy Tricoli, an old Christian artist, I think who's retired. But I actually got to meet her a couple times when I was involved with Life Teen. And it was one of her, like, I think her fourth album, but it's called A Love That Will Not Walk Away. A Love That Will Not Walk Away. And about how human love, you know, is kind of fragile and not always reliable and steady. But God's love is eternal and unconditional. And so it's a love that will not walk away. So that's kind of the title of this message. And we recognize that this love is revealed to us, not only individually through our own personal encounters with the Lord, but he surrounds us with good people who believe in his promise that we can change. And so I was thinking of the conversion of St. Paul, or Saul, as we had the reading today from the Acts of the Apostles. It said that many people were afraid of him because he had had, you know, a very sordid past. He was killing Christians. But God brought Ananias into his life and said, hey, he's changed. And I want you to trust in me and that you work with him. He's going to be a great evangelist and do wonderful things for me. He's going to reach out to the Gentiles, actually. That was a special ministry. But Ananias had to really trust in the Lord, and it reminded me of how easily we can judge people. You know, well, that person's always going to be like that. They're just a loser, and they're never going to change. And is that how God looks at us? No. But we can sometimes develop very hardened hearts and not help people experience conversion, and instead place obstacles in their path that prevent them from experiencing the love of Jesus. And, you know, Paul tells us that Jesus came to break down the walls of hostility and division. And if you look at our society today, we just see many walls being erected and raised up that divide us based on maybe our race, our ideologies, our political affiliations, and so forth. And St. Paul says, you know, that you're all one in Christ. There's neither Gentile nor Jew, male nor female. You're all one. And we just see how far away we've moved from that goal, because we can develop very hardened hearts. And especially me, I was sitting at something a few weeks ago and just having some very negative thinking, what Joyce Meyer calls stinking thinking. And all of a sudden I realized, this is just so stupid and dumb. Why are you... just renounce it now in the name of Jesus. I renounce this way of thinking. I don't want to look at this person this way. I need... give me your eyes, Jesus. This is a song by Brandon Heath. I met him too at a concert once. Give me your eyes so that I can see this person the way you see them. And then all of a sudden, that horrible stinking thinking started changing. So when you start thinking like that, just in the name of Jesus, I renounce my way of thinking. I want to put on the mind of Christ. I want to see people the way Jesus sees them and not write them off. Oh, you'll never change, you know, because that's not how he treats us. So he had people around him, and it just reminded me, too, that in all the transitions in life, and God has never failed to surround me with wonderful people, fellow believers who are strong in the Lord and see me the way Jesus sees them and not just, you know, put you down or shame you and so forth. But then I was thinking too of 1 Kings 19, where Elijah was all on his own. And maybe that's why he was in such a bad place. You know, he fled from Mount Carmel after the big showdown with the false prophets of Baal. And then, you know, Jezebel threatened to take his life. And it said he forgot who he was and he just ran. And then he says he was in such a place of sadness and desperation. Lord, take my life. This is too much for me. But even then, God sent an angel. Get up and eat something. You're tired. You're emotional. God's not through with you yet. Go to Mount Horeb and he has a message for you. So he journeyed 40 days and 40 nights and God gave him his final marching instructions, if you will. And he had a glorious exit. you know, a fiery chariot, and he went up into heaven and was assumed into heaven. So that reminds us that even those times in our life when people kind of let us down, God will still provide what we need to continue to carry on. But sometimes, I know in my own life, you know, I've had a really difficult situation, and the people I thought would be supportive, they just can't be there. They just have other things going on in their life, and they can't be there. So you pull back away, and you pray in the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, you're always with me. Give me what I need to walk through this journey right now. But there are times, there are seasons of grace in our life where, you know, we have fellowship with other people, and sometimes he sends you off to a lonely place. But even then, he's still with us. Amen? I believe that. Secondly, the way we live our life reflects what we believe. So in the second reading from 1 John, he's telling us that, you know, do not be conformed to the thinking of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind that you may know what is good and pleasing to God. And this is always a tension for Christians in the world. We want to get along with people, and we want to not be hated by people. I don't think any of us wake up every morning, Lord, help me to have someone hate me today. Do any of you do that? If you do, you need to go to see a counselor. I don't think that's a very healthy way of living or thinking. At the same time, we are not to be conformed to the thinking of this world. So I found this passage from Ephesians. I was quoting this actually on Wednesday night at a presentation I was doing. And that we're called to maturity in our faith and not to be tossed to and fro. He says, and he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ, so that we may no longer be infants, tossed by waves and swept along by every wind of teaching arising from human trickery, from their cunning and their interests of deceitful scheming. So there are people around us that, oh, you don't really need to follow what God has told you. You know, do this or that and you'll be happy and fulfilled. And all of us have fallen for that from time to time and found out how miserable we are. Oh, this didn't work out. I was lied to. You know, this person promised if I did this or compromised what I really know in my heart, believe that I'd be a happier person. And it delivered just the opposite. That's the nature of sin. And we wouldn't fall for it unless we thought we could get something beneficial out of it. But Paul is saying here, you know, don't be swept away by those people and those false prophets. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, and be most interested in putting God first in your life and pleasing him. Because that's all that matters in the end. I know one priest, he's a little blunt, and he would say, when somebody would come to him, you know, well, so-and-so doesn't like this, and he would just say, who the hell cares? I'm not that blunt, even though I just said that from the pulpit. You know, put God first. What does God think about that? Isn't that the most, what is good and pleasing to God? Isn't that what we're supposed to be interested in? But you see how distracted we get? And especially young people, they want to be liked by everybody. And so they'll compromise what they really know in their heart to get along with people and get off on a really bad path. But they can come back, amen? And we can help them back. We don't have to ever feel like we're stuck. And that's the one thing I've been remembering on with this, is the goodness of God. So whenever we have transitions in our life and have to move on and do things, it's a hard time. But the Bible tells us, remember the goodness of the Lord. So when I was in college and the people prayed over me before I made a huge decision in my life to move forward with the vocation to the priesthood, they gave me a word of scripture that I've not forgotten. I mean, not in my head at least, maybe in my heart, but it was Zechariah 4:6. Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. And that temptation to self-reliance is so strong. Well, I can do this on my own. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need God's help. It's like my nephew. I unbuckled his seatbelt when he was 1 year old. And he started screaming and just went ballistic. I do. I do. In other words, I don't need your help, Uncle Jim. I can undo my own seatbelt. And he really couldn't. But and I thought, isn't that how we act with God sometimes? I don't need your help. I can do it on my own. Really? Well, allow me to let you fall flat on your face, and then I'll pick you up and we'll try this again, right? But sometimes, I do, I don't need your help. It's like, amidst all the craziness that's about to happen with all the parish consolidations, we need the help of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, and St. Thomas Parish, and St. Philomena Parish, and Enumclaw, and Buckley, and Black Diamond. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. So think about that. Not by power nor by might. deepen your relationship with the Lord and stay close to Him, and He's going to give us all we need to move through these difficult times. I really believe that. But the temptation to pull back out of fear or self-reliance is really strong, but greater is He who's in us than He who's in the world. So He's going to help us in the days ahead. But, you know, it's choppy waters right now, He's in the boat with us, so don't panic or freak out. Amen? He's a good captain.